Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Craig Unger. Craig is the Federal Detention Trustee in the Office of the Federal Detention Trustee in the U.S. Department of Justice. Well, Craig, at the end of our last segment, you described your responsibility. I'm curious about how big your team is and who's on your team in terms of the composition of their skills.
Well, we're small at the moment. We're lean, and again, a new agency. And I might add that while we're new, this function is not new. It's been performed for many, many years by the agencies I mentioned earlier, the Immigration Naturalization Service, the Marshal Service, and the Bureau of Prisons. Congress, again, in establishing our office, gave us a handful of positions, six, and we got started last year, again, performing the study and beginning the activation of the office. There's a request in this year FY03's budget proposal for a dozen more positions, but those again are the infrastructure to get the office off the ground. The staff that we envision and propose to maintain the office will be either detailed or reassigned or from within those components that are currently performing. Again, we're not interested in creating another layer of bureaucracy. We're looking at eliminating duplicity and consolidating the services, and so we can hopefully, again, be more consistent and hopefully contain some costs.
What type of skills will your team have?
Well, again, as you expect in any agency, from the upfront projections to statisticians to the budget, both formulation and execution, from a procurement standpoint of negotiating and acquiring contracts, from a compliance review, QAQC folks for doing administering the contracts. So pretty much a myriad of all the disciplines you would expect in any organization.
Good old-fashioned management stuff, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well, tell us about your career. How did you get here?
Well, my federal civil service career spans approximately 28 years, beginning with my tour of duty in the United States Marine Corps. And then continuing with the Federal Bureau of Prisons for nearly 24 years, and also a brief tour duty with the Department of Justice Inspector General's office as a special agent, and then finally with my position as the Federal Detention Trustee.
How were you drawn to this subject area?
Good question. My background is actually accounting and finance, MBA. Got into the corrections as an entry level, working actually in a commissary, a canteen, and the Bureau's just an extraordinary organization to work for, and very family oriented, very career oriented, and they presented me with several opportunities, and I sort of had an excellent promotion potential, and elevated throughout the years, relocated on several occasions at some of their field institutions, a regional office, and ended up in their headquarters.
When you look back on your career, was there any one job or series of jobs that best prepared you to become the trustee?
I would say, other than parenting, preparing me for management, it would be perhaps the special agent in the DOJ's Inspector General's office, and being trained for some of the interviews and the cases that we had there were quite an eye-opener for me.
In terms of expanding your knowledge of the subject area, or in terms of developing management skills?
I would say in terms of management skills, and just seeing that I had been exposed mostly to all the good and wonderful things of working in organizations. You get to see some not-so-good things when you're working on, again, in cases of whether it be staff misconduct or corruption or what have you. It, again, gives you, I think, some balance and perspective that you need to be prepared to deal with all of those.
That's interesting. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, because I understand your office is doing some very interesting things, and I'm curious to know about some of your plans. I understand you're planning to create a clearinghouse for detention space. Could you tell us about this project?
Well, yes. Basically, I should back up. Say Congress did support us to initiate a national repository, a database, if you will, on the detention operations within the federal sector. And the basic premise of the project is quite simple. It's develop an online system that can be used by federal law enforcement officers to identify beds. For example, if an FBI agent makes an arrest and needs to detain a suspect, the clearinghouse will be a tool that he could, we're looking at the web-based, that he can log on to, and perhaps in a 50-mile radius or close to the apprehension point or wherever it's going to be adjudicated, and find a detention space and without making numerous calls and expending a lot of resources and perhaps locating where people where we might have to move them a second time. So that's the basic premise of the system.
So it is an application of technology to replace what appears to be a very manual process, the process of calling and looking and searching.
That's correct. It's, again, I've spent several days and nights in my brief time in this job in the field, learning, observing from the folks that are performing the day-to-day operations of detention and the various tasks they have to perform. It's not unusual. In some districts, they're making 30, 40 calls a day, every day, trying to just find a few more beds that we need to hold people, again, temporarily. And sometimes they'll call again in the afternoon to see if bed space has been freed up. And it just seems to me with all of the technology out there, from booking an aircraft, a flight, or a hotel room, that we ought to be able to automate and help these folks make decisions, hopefully on sound business. Perhaps we'll put them where the services we need, or where they're we can have a better per diem rate. So that would be the fundamental need for the system.
Another project underway in your office is the establishment of two regional detention pilot projects. Could you tell us about these programs?
In our enabling legislation, again, Congress directed us to perform a few tasks. I mentioned one earlier, perform this needs assessment, base line report and needs assessment. They also ask us to identify a couple of hotspots, a couple of crisis locations throughout the country that perhaps we could develop some sound business process improvements and go in on a sort of a pilot basis and implement some of these and see if we could make a difference. And again, both being more efficient and more consistent and contain costs. So based on that, we have proposed in the Midwest, the Chicago area, and we have proposed in the southwest border, the El Paso, Las Cruces area, of sort of drilling down into those particular districts and doing a real in-depth needs assessment of who they have now, where they're holding them, what's the average length of stay, what are the transportation costs, what are the medical costs, and then trying to do a projection of what their needs are going to be and see if we can, become more efficient.
Have there been any outcomes of these pilots so far?
No, again, we're just in the proposed stages of developing our plans and, again, gathering information from those folks in the field. My management by the seat of the pants over the years has taught me the people on the front lines performing every day most generally have the solutions to the problem. So we're trying to spend quite a bit of time with those people at those districts. And I'm talking about not just the INS and Marshals, but bringing in the FBI, ATF, Secret Service, the U.S. attorneys, the courts, the immigration review side of the house, and the customs, anybody that's involved in the pipeline of the detention and both the criminal justice and the administrative side of the house, and getting their input on identifying first what the problem is. We want to make sure whatever we're going to try to fix, we can at least concur and agree to what's causing, what are the drivers for the magnitude of the detention needs in those particular districts. So they're pretty much still in their infant development stage.
You just listed so many organizations that are involved in detention. What are the management tools you use to coordinate and extract information and work in different parts of the country and across these different groups?
Well, the first is the telephone and and spending a lot of time on airplanes. But I believe wholeheartedly in talking to people and face-to-face, observing firsthand the processes that are currently that are ongoing in all those components, and again in the context of detention, and seeing if there is some areas that's overlap or that is duplicative that we can provide some assistance with. But again, I feel that at my level, my job is to certainly network, reach out to those folks, share information and resources, and to listen to them.
The facilities that are used for detention are located all over the country. What are the requirements for a facility to be considered for use?
First of all, we're looking for facilities that are safe, secure, and humane. So if a jurisdiction, a local sheriff, has excess beds and he would like to provide a service on behalf of the marshals or INS, they would identify that need to us, of course. We would perform a pre-occupancy inspection to ensure that the Department of Justice has specific core standards that we've developed that we're going to enforce on any of the providers, whether it be, again, state, local, private or federal. So we would do a pre-occupancy inspection to ensure that those needs were met. We would also negotiate, hopefully, a favorable rate. And then we would, once we began using that facility, we would do on at least an annual basis a pretty in-depth inspection and compliance check.
Great. We got to stop for a break. Rejoin us after the break as we continue our conversation about management with Craig Unger of the Department of Justice. This is the Business of Government Hour.